Andy Mae Roberts Stage and Studio. We're listening to music by David Iwataki. The 4th Annual Vamport Mosaic Festival offers performances, films, talks, and exhibits focusing on Portland's history with displacement, gentrification, and the little-known stories of communities of color here. This multidisciplinary festival runs through June 5th. It began as a way to honor and preserve the history of Vamport, a city between Vancouver and Portland, built for the Kaiser shipyard workers during World War II. At its height, Vamport housed 40,000 residents, many of them African American and some Japanese Americans who lost their homes because of forced incarceration during World War II. In 1948, a devastating flood washed away almost all traces of the city. The Vamport Mosaic Festival still gives voice to the Vamport story, but also has broadened its festival to include what they call memory activism about Portland's silenced histories. In early June, Portland dancer, choreographer, and activist Chisao Hata debuts a performance piece called Gambate, an American legacy at the festival. Gambate, a phrase that roughly translates to hang in there, began as a short stage reading in collaboration with playwright Nikki Nojima Lewis at the festival, and it's now evolved into a 90-minute piece with movement that will debut June 1st through June 5th. I talked with Chisao Hata about Gambate, which was inspired by a photo at the Vamport Festival. She interviewed the last remaining survivor, who was a student in the photo, as well as an African-American teacher and other students. Here's the interview I recorded earlier in my home studio. I'm Dee Mae Roberts, Stage and Studio, and I'm here in my office studio with actress, dancer, choreographer, activist, and longtime Portland artist, Chisao Hata. Welcome, Chisao.
Thank you. Welcome to you, too. I'm glad to be here.
No, it's good to have you back. You are doing a project that is very close to your heart. I know through the years that you have been a longtime activist, especially in the Japanese American community, and really bringing to light remembrance of history that needs to be remembered. And we have crossed paths many times, you know, on different projects with this. And I'm glad that you're still keeping up the good fight, you know. And so this latest project is Gambate, an American Legacy. It's part of the Vamport Mosaic Festival. It's at the IFCC, Interstate Firehouse Cultural Center, and it's running June 1st through June 5th during the Vamport Mosaic Festival. And I'll give more of that info later on. But I wanted to talk about Gambate because I saw it as a reading at Vamport Mosaic Festival about 2 years ago. And it was a shorter reading then. But can you tell us about the genesis of that particular reading and how it's developed into a 90-minute play with movement?
Well, I guess I could say it started a long time ago, but how this particular version of Gambate started was when I was teaching dance at Buckman Art School. And we were doing a unit, the teacher were teaching about, you know, in second grade they do this whole neighborhood, who's in your neighborhood. And so it was really focused more on all the different kinds of neighborhoods that there are in Portland that often aren't included. And so I said, well, you know, there's this Japanese American curriculum that's developed out of the Oregon Nikkei Legacy Center called Whatever Happened to Nihon Machi. And the kids of second grade become these detectives, and then they learn the mapping, like where Nihon Machi was, who had their businesses there, what were their names, who were the people, and then they learn to become those people, find out the names of the streets, where they were, and it's just a whole, I think, perfect unit for second graders. And they write letters to people, they, you know, from being that person. I mean, it's just a really good... So
just so that we are clarified, yeah. Nihon Machi is Japantown, essentially.
Right.
And we had a couple of those vibrant ones here in Portland.
Yes, Nihon Machi is known as Japantown, and there were actually 35 along the West Coast. So they were very active, as were the Chinese, you know, Chinatowns. And so a lot of stories happened there, but then they were cut short you know, with the executive order during World War II. So that was really the beginning of exploring that story and me sitting down in a circle with second graders, talking to them about my story and my history, and then saying, well, that's all I'm going to tell you for today. And they go, no, tell me more, tell me more. And then it became a short play, and I incorporated some of my history into that, my mother's story, my story of growing up. And then the following year, we did it again, and it was the 75th anniversary of the executive order, the issuance of executive order. So I did a project called Remember Us, and it was really inspired by the African saying of, well, you have two deaths. One, when your body is no longer here, and two, when your name is no longer mentioned. And so I'm like, that's all I want. I want those 4,000 names in that book at the Legacy Center to be mentioned. How can we do that? And so we made this, it ended up being a 35-foot long rope with tags that were made in community centers and schools and programs, writing the names of the people that actually were sent to the Expo Center in Portland.
So when we talk about the executive order, that's Executive Order 9066, and that was the order to basically imprison Japanese and Japanese Americans, anyone of Japanese descent, after the bombing of Pearl Harbor. And I think people still don't know, though, do they, that a lot of Japanese Americans were sent to the Portland Expo Center from, you know, who lived in Portland.
And there is a lot of anti-Japanese, anti-Chinese sentiment even before that time. So it was building, and the executive order was really more of an excuse or of a reason to implement racist policies during that time. But the feelings existed long before that. You know, from the Chinese, from the Exclusion Acts, from the alien land laws, from all those things that happened in our history. So I feel like, you know, even in second grade, some people would say, well, they shouldn't know about that. They're too young. And I was like, but that's history. You don't change history. But what we know is selective history. So I really feel like for the children and for, you know, all Americans, it's our right to know what our country has done, what our history is, and it's part of our legacy. And it isn't like a good or a bad, it just is.
Well, let's talk more about gambate, because gambate is a Japanese phrase. Would you kind of describe what that is?
Initially, it was called gambate, be strong. And that was to let people know that's kind of what it means. Like, hang in there no matter what. Even in all the hardships, it's going to be okay. Just suck it in, suck it up, and persevere, you know, hold on, wait a minute, because something else is going to happen. Life, you know, so just gambate, just hold it together.
So when you did the 45-minute reading, it was actually inspired, of course, by your work as an activist regarding Japanese American incarceration during World War II, but also by a photo at the Vanport Mosaic Festival back then.
Well, I guess maybe it was 2017, and initially I was asked by Vanport to interview a Japanese American woman who had been at Vanport. And so when I saw the film that Laura Laforte created, I was like, that's a really good story. Somebody should do something, you know, about that Japanese American story. And so I went up to them right after the film and I said, I think I want to do, you know, realistically a 45-minute reading next year about the Japanese American story. And of course, the story of going to Vanport is connected to Nihonmachi. It's connected to Japantown. You can't tell one part of the story without seeing the whole, you know, line of history of what happened. So you have to talk about, I mean, I felt like I had to talk about Nihonmachi and then being sent to Portland Assembly Center. And then after that, a majority of the people went to Minidoka, Idaho. And then it was after that that people were given $25 and a bus ticket to to go and find a new life. And of course, there was no Japantown to go home to. So a lot of people, you know, I've read 300 and then I've read 900. So it must be somewhere in between there. People, Japanese Americans that returned to Vanport because it was a low income housing, available federal income housing at the time. And there were, you know, at Giles Lake and Fruit Valley, Washington, and Columbia Villa, there were several of those programs that could help people out, low income. Kind of need those now.
You saw the video and you started, you also saw the photo at the exhibit. And did you, you started interviewing some of the survivors of Vanport then. Tell us about that.
Well, it was like, okay, if there's 300, how do I start doing this? I can't do all 300 and not generally. But what happened is one of the people that I talked to had this photo. And so Norio Saito showed me this photo of his class. So he's in it. And then I decided, well, I could find all of the people in that picture. So that's what I did. I went to, you know, talk to community people, and we found all of them out of the seven. Only one had passed away, and I interviewed them. We had community circles. We, you know, asked them to tell us their stories and got them together, and then that was what the reading was based on.
And so you did this 45-minute reading, and it was really well received. And so you decided to develop it into a full-length play. And how has been that process of developing it into a longer work?
Well, last year, 2018, we did Gambatte Be Strong again as pretty much the same reading, but we evolved it a little bit to include the first African-American teacher in Vanport. And when I saw it at Lewis and Clark, I was like, this is good the way that it is. And we had been talking about developing it, and I'd like, let's just put that to the side and let's start a process of how do we go about doing a performance that is theater and dance and music and really exploring the emotional depths of the story, not just kind of the historic telling of the story, which is all important too, but I'm more interested in the what I call now the emotional legacies that come along with the Japanese-American story.
And so what are some of those emotional legacies? And what there's a lot of history to tell in 90 minutes, because you're starting with the Nihonmachi and then the Japanese-American incarceration and then the return to Vanport, and it goes into the civil rights era. So how are you melding all of that history together?
Quickly, pretty quickly. And using some text that's already been written, Lawson Inada has wrote a piece called Nihonmachi that he's allowed us to use, and another piece that he did called Daijobu, and then a piece that I wrote, and a choreo poem that I created with a poem that was written by Janice Mirakatani. And it was about her mother's testimony during the congressional hearings. So it's pulled on some of that work, and then how do you tell a good story? You know, what will engage the audience? And then also imagining what might have happened that we weren't told. That's what's interesting to me, because there's so much people will say, well, we don't know. Our parents never talked about it. But now that we're older, we can kind of imagine there had to be questions. There had to be, you know, like conflict, not just within the community or within their block or within this new living situation, but within themselves about what does it mean to be American. And so that's why An American Legacy is the title this time.
Well, and it goes back to what you started talking about earlier, that if you don't remember, that's the second death, right? The first is death, right? But the second one is when history isn't remembered. So this is an important thing to bring out. You're listening to Stage and Studio. I'm Dimae Roberts with choreographer, dancer, director, activist artist Gisao Hata, and she's about to debut Gambate, an American Legacy. It's part of the Vanport Mosaic Festival at Interstate Firehouse Cultural Center, located at 5340 North Interstate Avenue, and it is running June 1st at 3 p.m. and 7 p.m., June 2nd at 3 p.m., and June 3rd at 7 p.m., and June 4th at 7 p.m., and June 5th at 7 p.m. So there's only five chances to see the show, right? Five, one, two, three, four. And so, and they're all followed by a 20-minute discussion between the audience and actors and all the evening performances. And you've got some artists. You want to talk about some of the artists that are involved in working with you on this?
Several of the artists that were in the original production, which was written with Nikki Nojima Lewis, who did Breaking the Silence and is really leading the way in how readers theater can be brought into communities to organize communities and tell their stories. And so that original cast from 2017, Heath Hune, Ken Yoshikawa, Jenna Yokoyama, Anna Harvey, are still all involved in this. And it was many, many hours around my dining room table hashing out what is the story, how does this become theater, and not just kind of the taking us through the paces of it. And I also wanted to mention that we're having what I'm calling a healing gathering, community healing gathering, and that's a time that we're going to be listening to each other in terms of generations coming together. So there's a lot of, I think, misunderstanding or stories that aren't told through the generations. And this is an opportunity to listen to those stories and maybe have a chance to connect with other generations.
Well, this is also very personal for you. There's also some personal stories, or at least one personal poem in there. And I actually would like to have you read some of it. But you want to tell us where this poem came from?
So I was asked to think about how I would tell my story about growing up in the Midwest, because I was born and raised in Des Moines, Iowa, which is not your usual community of Japanese Americans or Japanese, although there were quite a few war brides, as in, tea. But
that's the play Tea by Valina Hasu Houston. But also, before we get to where you grew up, tell us how your family came to be there in Des Moines.
So my mother and father met in Walla Walla at Whitman College in pre-med, and my dad left because he didn't like blood, and and my mom went on to become the first Japanese American nurse in Oregon. She ended up going to LA, I think, to actually follow my dad. They were going to get married, and then executive order was issued. And so my mom, because she was a professional person, went to volunteer. They asked for volunteers first to set up, to get the camps kind of going, I guess. And so she was sent to Poston, Arizona, near Phoenix, not too far from Phoenix. And so my dad then followed, and then they were married in Poston. And then after several years there, upon their release, well, you had to have a job. So my mom's first job was sent to Boulder, Colorado, and then she ended up knowing a doctor or connecting with a doctor, Japanese doctor, in Des Moines, Iowa, and that's where they ended up, and that's where I was born, and the arts changed my life there.
But then, let's fast forward several years later, you're working on Gambate, and you find something. Tell us about that.
Oh, okay, so sorry, I got a little sidetracked. So asking me about tell us your Midwest story, I remember that, oh yeah, I hated the fact that I was from Iowa for many, many years. I didn't want to mention it at all, except now I was saying, you know, the arts really trained me in Iowa. And so I remember that I wrote this piece that talked about these trunks that were in my parents' home, only they were locked. And so the story ends, well, now I know what to do. I just need to find a key. So as I was doing this piece, I was like, oh, well, wait, I still have one of those trunks. And so I went to get it out, and there is a key on the side of the trunk. So either I had a different trunk, I didn't see the key before, or the key appeared, or I wasn't ready for it until then. So this was a trunk that I found this fall, and opened this fall, that hadn't been opened since Poston. So that inspired a lot of the piece, What I Carry.
Do you mind reading some of that poem that you were just talking about?
So this poem is called What I Carry. It appeared this fall, a traveling trunk packed away, almost discarded, a locked trunk without a key ready to open me. I went back to see, and there was this key to the past, this key to lives lived before me. Insert, twist, open. Revelations, views from 1930, views before Poston, Arizona, photos before World War II and the people they became. I went back to remember who I had become and found out who I was all along.
So why continue telling this history? Why continue projects like Gambate? Because I could see that this could be a long-term project, not just one show. Tell us why it's important.
You know, it's part of my history, but it's also part of American history. And as the generations intermarry and our stories change and we come, you know, farther away from them, I think it's important that we tell what we remember. Not necessarily what we've been told, but there is a lot written. It's not like it's not documented. There's so much written. But for those of us that live through those changing times, mine wasn't camp, mine was redress. Mine was working to, you know, activate people and testify and pass the redress bill. And so, you know, when this is an example, we're sitting around talking about, you know, this period of time, and they're like, well, you know, I think this happened. I was like, okay, so I was there, and this is what happened.
What do you hope younger generations would learn from a piece like Gambate?
For me, it's really about us as emotional beings and expressing those emotions and what happens when we don't. And so in my case, and in many Sansei and Nisei generation, the emotions were not expressed. And I believe they weren't expressed because of the trauma of the event of camp and all the complexities of that includes, you know, your history, where you come from, your culture, many, many things. But it's important to acknowledge I just keep saying the emotional legacies, because a lot of times people say trauma, but it's more than trauma. It's the food, and it's the culture, and it's the dances, and it's the music, and it's the stories that we tell. It's just all of that that is in our, it's in our body, it's in our cells, it's in our DNA. So I feel obligated to tell how I experience it.
Well, thank you, Chisao, for being here and for continuing, I guess, the legacy of making sure that history isn't forgotten. So thanks so much, and good luck and break legs for Gambate, an American legacy.
Thank you, Gambate. Thank you, Dime.
That was dancer, choreographer, director, and activist Chisao Hata. Read a profile of her that I wrote for the Asian Reporter newspaper. Her production of Gambate, an American Legacy, is being presented as part of the Vanport Mosaic Festival. Performances are Saturday, June 1st at 3 p.m. and 7 p.m., Sunday, June 2nd at 3 p.m., Tuesday, June 4th, and Wednesday, June 5th at 7 p.m. All shows are at the Interstate Firehouse Cultural Center, located at 5340 North Interstate Avenue. Seating is limited. Reservations are strongly recommended, and you can get reservations at vanportmosaic.org. On Monday, June 3rd at 7 p.m. at the IFCC, There is a free community healing gathering. It's to address the emotional legacies expressed in Gumbate. There's so much happening at the Vanport Mosaic Festival running through June 5th, and I'm going to give you just a few highlights. There are two films, Transforming Hate, The Legacy of Mulugeta Sarah. That's on Thursday, May 30th at 7 to 9 p.m. at the IFCC Interstate Firehouse Cultural Center. And it's about Mulugeta Sarah when 30 years ago, he was an Ethiopian immigrant and he was beaten to death by three white supremacists. Those of us who were in Portland at the time do remember this story so strongly. There's going to be a short documentary about his life and death, and there will be also guest speakers. And then there's Divided States, the 2017 Max train attack. Very, very recent. It's on Friday, May 31st at the IFCC. And it's a documentary screening commemorating the two-year anniversary of this tragedy when a white supremacist fatally stabbed two people and injured a third after he was confronted for shouting racist and anti-Muslim slurs at two teenage girls on a MAX train in Portland. There are also story-driven gatherings. Confluence Story Gathering is on June 2nd at 6 to 9 p.m. at Saruman House, located at 5131 Northeast 23rd Avenue in Portland. It's designed to elevate Indigenous voices in a collective understanding of place, specifically the Columbia River system. And there's Story Swap, a gathering of hope. That's on Wednesday, May 29th at 7 to 8:30 p.m. at Saruman House, and it's an inspiring evening of live storytelling to spark hope and action. There's also an interesting tour. It's Power to the People, Black Panther Legacy. On Tuesday, May 28th at 1 to 3 p.m. at the Northeast Coalition of Neighborhoods at 4815 Northeast 7th Avenue in Portland. You can join Kent Ford, founder of Portland's chapter of the 60s era Black Empowerment Organization, for a walking tour in Northeast Portland. Listen to his personal memories of revolutionary activism and community service. You can see a complete schedule of the Vanport Mosaic Festival at vanportmosaic.org. And I have all this info as well as the show online at stageandstudio.org or kabu.fm/stageandstudio. That's it for Stage and Studio. We're going out with music by David Iwataki.